So far, what we discussed was the first major group of Rishonim that think that Shvua always requires shame, both in the version that seems to be the Yirmi Gash, which is maybe explicit by some of the Nosikim and the Tur, that's no exceptions, as well as the Shita that held that there is an exception less, or perhaps even in Malkus, like perhaps Riyaz held. That's the Rambam and Riyaz. So we analyzed that yesterday. Now we're going to move on, maybe a little bit more bird's eye view. Maybe we'll see how it plays out. Maybe not. To the rest of the shittos. First, we'll deal with the other shita in this category. The two extremes, right? There's shame is always required, and the shame is never required. All right, so let's deal with that first. The shita of the Rashba and the Tosas Rid, the Ra'ah, the held that never need shame. So first thing to point out about this approach is that there are two directions how you might understand it. One possibility is to say that there's simply no din shame in Shvua. You simply fundamentally don't require shame in Shvua. Shame is not an essential component of Shvua. It's not, by definition, required. Moreover, there's also no din mifnei atzma in any of the contexts in which we have Hilchos Shvua that require shame aside from the requirement for Shvua. Okay? Right, that's what emerges if you hold this way. Alternatively, one could say that fundamentally you agree there is a requirement for shame, b'shvua, but you think that doesn't require, that doesn't manifest as a requirement to actually be maskir b'feirish. You don't actually need to utter shame b'feirish. And here there seems to be a difference between the Rashi and the Tosafot. When the Rashi speaks about this, he just says this is a double pashut. Shame, that lo ba'i shame, lo kino, b'shvua does not require shame, or kino, the fidi, the rabban. But when you see the Tosafot Rid, so the language is quite different. Right, you notice that, right? He says, I think you did, because I think I discussed it with some of you, right? When he says you don't need shame, he gives an explanation for it. He says, just at the end, this is his summary. He says that there, he says it also earlier on. Why? That's one part. He says, mashma. Then he says, again at the end, right, that olam hechad hiskir lo shvua stam kilu hiskir b'shem dam. So you don't need to be masker shame. Shvua stam is kim masker shame. Sounds like, right, he's going with this alternative direction. Not that fundamentally there's no requirement for shame shvua, but rather the requirement for shame shvua does not manifest as a need, doesn't require you to actually utter the shame. It's kistam. Now the question, of course, is going to be, what does that mean? Yeah. Is that what your question was?
Basically, but also like, meaning, because you were just saying before that, as you mentioned yesterday, that shua can sometimes imply, like the word shua itself can imply the shame. So that means that...
Well, the question is, what does that mean then?
Right, meaning does it mean like, yeah, like Hasha Balibo, or...
Because
that would be a huge finish, because it's not...
Right, exactly. So that's the question, exactly. What is it, as Ashton, what does this mean? How does that work? Meaning you have a requirement for shame, but it's okay if you don't say it. Now, one answer could have been, and notice he doesn't quote it, he doesn't say it, and there's a reason for it. Well, maybe he didn't yado shvua. Right? Just like we saw Rishonim who held the Riaz himself, as well as the Rid, when he discussed the opinion that maybe you do always need shame, except for one context, shvua l'haba le'inyan chalos shvua, right? He said, maybe he didn't yado. And there's a reason why, when he then says, no, you actually don't need it anywhere. So now you could think, well, he's just expanding the scope of places where you don't need it. So maybe you should say that's because yados apply universally. And the reason that he doesn't do that, when he speaks of the idea that you never need it, he doesn't say b'efremidin yados or midin yad enot zarech. That's because that would be an enormous chiddush. That would be a revolution, I think, in yados, in din yadayim, to apply it where? Apply
sure.
It. So, okay. So that's, I don't think it's an enormous chiddush. That's an explicit machlokes rishonim. It's noteworthy, but the enormous good would be to apply the shvua, which has no parallel in the world of hafla, in the anywhere else hafla, which is shvua l'sha'ava. Shvua l'haba, where you're imposing commitments. So that's ish kiyachlid and dor neder, right? Oh, shavua shavua, right? So in that case, in that context, we have this concept that when you're trying to impose some sort of halos, some sort of commitment upon yourself, so you just start the dibor and. Let's assume it's Yidan HaMochichos, right? If it's just obvious what the rest of the Heged would have been, but you just didn't say it, So we have this chiddush that we derive from psukim that that's fine. That that'll still initiate the chalos, the status change. This is something which is said regarding the nedarim, naziros. To say it regarding shvua, not a shvua b'dil abba, but shvua l'sha avar. The place where we derive this from is a chiddush that's written in the pasuk regarding things about imposing commitments. You know, I mean, there's lots of dibors in halachas. We don't find it as a general dibor halacha. We find it in particular in context of hafla, the inyan le'esor, to create a status change, right? That status change will be affected even if you don't complete your sentence. Here, we're not talking about a status change, right? We're talking about just having it be a shvua. No, it's not to create a status change. This is a din, let's say shvua sheker, right? This is an example. You're saying that it's as if you finished the shvua. Where do we find such a concept? Meaning, not to create a status change. Yad, the halacha of Yad is, if you don't finish the heged, it'll still create the isser. This is derived from nazir, nedarim. So if we want to apply the shvuas, in time you're correct, that's what we discussed. It's actually machlokes rishonim whether or not you do. But let's assume that you do. Right, but that l'chora would have to be restricted to the shvuas that are ke'ain, what we're talking about, namely shvuas imposing commitments, shvuas l'haba, shvuas which, according to many rishonim, is just subject to bayacha, like nedarim. And that's how Moshe Shonim read the sugya in Mikvah, as opposed to the Rambam. Right, shvuas l'haba are dinim of bayacha, also just like nedarim. Right, so those dinim, so in that context, we can apply the halachos of yadus, but to say it about shvuas l'sha'avar. So to say there that you apply yad, that is a huge chiddush. Everybody follow what I'm saying? I mean, that's a section of Hilchos Shavuos that are not parallel to Nedarim and Nazir, where by way of Dibur you're altering, you're creating a binding halachic commitment. Right? That's true, specifically Legabe Shavuos, Legabe Haba. That's where you have this concept then of yad, if we have it at all. But to say that yados apply even when you're talking about dibur, past dibur, I mean, we don't have such a halacha. We don't have that in bracha. I'm just giving examples. Right, where you require dibur, you don't, generally speaking, have din yad, yadayim. You don't say a bracha, you don't have to finish a bracha. Tefillah, you have to finish tefillah. Because we'll just say yad. Right? We don't have such a halacha. This is a unique halacha regarding hafla, derived from the sukkim regarding hafla, regarding, right, ish ki dor l'ander l'ashen, something that you impose upon yourself. So that'll work even if you don't finish the statement. But we're not talking about imposing upon yourself, just whether or not you've uttered a shvua sheker, or whether or not you've uttered a bracha, right? We don't have such a concept of yadayim. So it would be an enormous chiddush, I believe, to apply it there. And that's why I think when the Tosfos Rid transitions to the view that you never need it, and including not just shvua b'dil abba, but for any shvua, including the shvua b'dil l'sha'avar, including b'dil b'kadam, including b'kadam re'edus, and shvua z'dayanim, right? So we're not dealing now with dibor ha'oseh halos. We're not dealing with dibor by which you are imposing halachic commitments upon yourself. So then we're not in the world of yadayim. We're not in the world of yah. We don't find it there. Right? Then, if I'm going to say that you do need shame fundamentally, but you don't need to articulate it, it's not going to be by resorting to the concept of yadayim. And therefore it doesn't say. Now that leaves us the question that, okay, so it's not this halachic concept we're familiar with, for good reason. We're not familiar with it in this kind of context, but then what is it? What principle here enables us to say that it's ke'ilu your master? Yeah.
I know this is not an exact parallel, but the example you gave before about tefillah, right? Well, we do have machlokes regarding like something along the lines of like chasha b'libo, right? Like benching by Shmona Esrei, by Shema, right? We find like.
But never a concept of the dying.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I'm saying. Chasha b'libo is not meaning.
No, because chasha. No, in fact, that's the reason you need Yah is because the assumption is it's not enough just to be higher. Right. But in other contexts, we find questions of whether or not here or here is good enough. The question is not that. The question is, where we assume you need a hegate, and that hegate needs to have certain components to it. So, can you leave out certain components to it? We never find anybody say in other contexts that no, and you know, you can leave out certain components, and that's because we have a din yadayim.
Wouldn't you say that if here or here works in certain contexts, and kal vachomer, a yad should work? I mean, isn't yad at least somewhat expressive? Here or here is.
Okay, in various areas, there are cases, in fact, in Nedarim and Shuas, where we say, Gamar Beliba Lahotzi Besfasav requires, it's the Gamar and Shuas on Pavav, Gamar Beliba Lahotzi Besfasav, if the plan, you know, was that you would utter it, So then it's not enough to hear. That's not true in Shvua. That it's only in that case. Shvua requires Bitos Hasayim, but it would be true, let's say, in Truma Behekdesh, where the Machshava Govad, the assumption is, according to Meini, right, that you would be able to be Mafresh, but not if Gomer Beliba Lahotzi Misasa. But either way, the point is, that would be the question then. I mean, these other cases, you know, would you be Yotze Tefillah Behir or Ba'am? Are Yotze Tefillah Behir, right? You have questions about this in various contexts. Sometimes the issue is an issue of Behir or Dibor or not. The question of Yad is where you definitely need a Dibor, and therefore that's why you need Yad, right?
Right.
Whether or not it's because there's Gomer Beliba Lahotzi Misasa, or for whatever reason, you definitely need Dibor. The Dibor needs to consist of certain things, and you don't say all of them. So that's a chiddush. That's not an obvious thing at all. That's a chiddush. When we say for the purpose of that chiddush, we have this concept in Nidarim and in Nazir of Yad. Now, if it applies to Shvua, if Ora would only apply to the Shvua which are parallel to these, where right Labo, yeah.
Can you explain to say that Yad only works for a chalos iser on a Shvua? What's the sfar of like? If a Yad works that if your sentence is completed, why does it only work for
right,
a chalos iser?
Right. So like, correct.
Just
number one. So just the underpinnings of the question are correct. You only have a shot at thinking this might apply beyond Dibur L'Habad if you assume that that's how you understand it. That it's Kielu
well,
you say it. Right. Yeah. I mean, the other way to understand it is it's not Kielu you said it. It's that you don't need to say it. Right. If we know where you're going with it, you don't need to say it. If you say it that way, so then. Why, I mean, that may be true, so that's what the Torah tells us about, you know, in order to, you know, create an issue. What does that have to do with other cases, right? Even if you say, though, that it's as if you've said it, to recognize that's a chiddush, that's a huge aberration. Meaning, like Asher said, if we're dealing with cases where you don't need dibor, fine, I get it, so you don't need dibor. If you're dealing with yad, though, what you're talking about is where you did need dibor, and apparently there are certain things that are required to be part of that dibor, and now the question is, can we do without the things that are required to be part of it? So I think if you don't have a makor, you'll say no. And my raya for that is Yadayim is a chiddush. It's derived from Pesukim. It's a chiddush of the Torah. Right, we don't say that it's just misvaro. We sort of figured out that this is work. It's a chiddush from the pasuk that you need it. Right, the Gemara actually wonders whether or not you can somehow be makish to other contexts. It does do that, but they're all similar in the sense that we're talking about creating chaluyos lahava,
right.
Kiddushin, gittin,
and that's
right?
Only because the Pesukim we're talking about chaluyos lahava. Meaning the
in Chabalah Chidusha, you're not going to start expanding this Chidush, right? Where you have this, you know, you need to say the following things.
Right.
And you find out all of a sudden that if you just start the sentence, it's good enough. What do you mean? So I don't need to say the following things. No, you do, but it's okay. Right? So then when you find other halachas where there's a din, the dibor, if you say a certain thing, then you're not going to start applying the others. Again, I think you never find in Rishonim, I did not canvas Achronim about this issue, you never find Rishonim applying Yad anywhere but dibor Labba. Nobody had it in mind that maybe, you know, Rishonim would say you don't need chain. Nobody said. I mean, and it's interesting because you can highlight it even. And this is what I'm saying. In the contrast of the Rit is stark. It's striking because the Rit himself had invoked Yad, right? Precisely in order to explain why you didn't need to articulate chain, even though fundamentally there's a requirement for it. When he was just limiting himself to the exception being l'haba, then all of a sudden he says, you know what? Just from all these figures, it sounds like it's not just l'haba. Right, it's not just, you know, the Shmuz Lava, it seems like it's also other things, right? And when he says that, then all of a sudden he stops using the languages of the others. He doesn't say, and that's because Yah. Right? So within the Rishon himself you can see the transition here, and that's, as I say, it's consistent. Nobody ever thought, I think, that I can find that the others could apply to Shmuz L'Sha'avar, that's a Lava, which is a Kiddush, and in the Kabbalah Fidusho again. Some Rishonim think that there's no such chiddush regarding Shvuah Bechal, even the Shvuah Slava. But if there is, it would only be Shvuah Slava. Okay, so that's as far as that's concerned. The question then becomes, though, okay, so then why? Meaning, that makes sense, you can't have Yad here, but then what do you have? I mean, at least Yad would have been a halachic principle. If there isn't that, what is there? And the question, just to sharpen the question, is let's assume, take as a given, that Stam Kavanas Anishba is to be Nishba B'Shem. The question is, but why does that matter? If shame is required as a basic component of Shvuah, which is a din that you need to be invited to sign, right? So how is it enough that that's b'mashma and not b'feirish? How is it enough that you don't have to utter it? Again, Yadayim would be an answer, it just doesn't apply here. Okay? So So I think to explain this, I think we might distinguish between two things. Just to provide a context which would enable us to understand this Tosafot. I think we can distinguish between a dinin shame of Hashem, the Torah's shame, Hashem, as a required hege. Okay? That shame itself is a component of just what you need to say. That's one possibility. I think I would say, alternatively, it's not that you need shame qua shame as part of the hege of Shua. It needs to be, though, that what you're doing is being nishbah bo. You need to be, in some sense, taking a shvua upon him. You need to be referencing shvua bo. Remember, at the beginning of the year, I mentioned Ibn Ezra, right, that you're saying it's an analogy. Just like the Rabbanu Shlomo is true, this is true too. Shvua b'Hashem means that, like, again, we remember when the Rambam said that only he is emes shavah b'shavah bo, sort of pointing to the touchstone of truth, and you're saying, this is also that. This is also true. Not exactly on that level, but, you know, it's also true, right? So that's what you need to be doing. That's what shame is there for. It's not a requirement per se that you need to have shame. What it is you need to be referencing the Rabbanu Shlomo. Right? You need to be a shvua that you reference him. You say, this is a shvua b'Hashem as sort of a way to say that, you know, just like Hashem is, you know, MS, so what I'm saying is this is also true, right? So shame is, it's only required as a method of referencing him. One way to reference the Baruch Shalom, the easiest way is by simply saying his name, right? But, in principle, it's not a requirement for shame per se. It would be a simple not to mean the Saber Sa'ozen. So I think the question that I wondered, and I found one Rishon that said something about it, I'm not sure what everybody else thinks is, what about if I don't say one of the Kinuyim, one of the Shemos HaMechak, but I say something about it, I say a description. Right? Instead of saying, right, the Gemara talks about B'misha Nishba B'Shamayim V'aretz. And it says, even though Kavanavska L'misha Barah Shamayim V'aretz nonetheless, but the term Shamayim V'aretz can also, it doesn't actually address, and what if I say B'misha Asa Shamayim V'aretz? Doesn't say that. So what is the answer to that question? So, after looking long and hard, I found that the Meiri says, right? Did you guys look and see the Meiri? Right? The Meiri says explicitly that it doesn't work he says even explicitly, right? Unless you are nishba, the Rafa Mechana, or b'misha shebara shemayim v'aretz, or b'misha asa'an. Right?
You have to explicitly reference Hashem.
Explicitly reference Hashem without saying any shame.
Without saying the shame.
Right.
I mean, because shame is not the factor.
So that's what my argument is, that this Meiri, I think, is only possible if you assume that it's not that you need to be maskir Hashem. You need to refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The normal way to refer to somebody is by saying their name. Right? That's a good way to pick out the person that you're talking about is him. Right? His name. But it's only as a method of referencing him. The Nafkamina would be, just as an example, I'm saying, if you reference him without shame, B'misha asa shamayim v'aretz. Right? So the Meiri says that counts. Now, I don't think that everybody agrees to this. Principally the Rambam. The Rambam, if you take a look, how does he describe kinuyim, shemos v'mechakim? He says, B'misha shmo chanun, B'misha shmo rachum. Kinuyim, shemos v'mechakim have a status of shame. It's not that these are ways that you reference the Rosh Hashanah, they're actually shameless of the Rosh Hashanah. Shameless that are less tightly bound with him then, in a way that I'm not going to get into, then the other Shemus, Shemus HaNuchakim, the Shemus HaMiuchadim, but nonetheless, these are Shemus. That is something which I gave you a few minutes about, the status of Shemus, the Kinuim HaShemus, the Ravid held that they were Usser, La'omram Beveis HaKise, you can't even vaza such Shemus, although the Ram doesn't agree, meaning as far as that context, he doesn't agree that it manifests itself that way, but he does.
Shemus
HaNuchakim. The Rambam says that it's Asur La'omram Beveis HaMerchatz. The Rambam says that. Right. Ravid says even Bishmo, even Baracha, Matanim, etc. I pointed out to you that the Rambam also in Hilchos Sodei Torah says that they have a din that Shemos HaNimchakim have a din Kisvei Kodesh, which would likely be Nafmina there being that it would be Asur La'avdam Shelo Tzarech. As opposed to Shemus Mechadim, which are Asul Abdam, even Lutzar.
Yeah. The Ravid
says
even Shemus
Shemim Chakim
are Asur.
No. Shemus Shemim Chakim, everybody agrees, Asur Shemim Chakim. The question is these Kinuyim, Rachim, Chanun.
Oh, okay.
The Ravid thinks that they have a status of shame such that they cannot be articulated in a Makom, in a Basin reference, as an Isra part of the Isra Levazosa. I'm just saying that's one reflection of the idea. These are Shemus.
Like, you're not even saying anything. You're just saying.
So what I'm saying is, I think the Rambam who says, "B'misha shmo kanun, b'misha shmo rachum." What if I don't? What if I say, "B'misha asa shemayu aretz"? To me, it's the mashmas. The Rambam is that won't work. You need to be saying a shame.
But in the case of the rib, you're not saying it's not. You're saying misha bara. You're not saying anything.
I'm coming back to that. Yeah. So, but my point is that what emerges from the Meiri, I think that what clearly is manifest in the Meiri, is that you don't need shame qua the chetzah shal shame, let's say. Right? It doesn't need to be that there's a din be chetzah shal shame that needs to be, it needs to be articulated. There's a din that you need to refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shame, my question is just a way of referencing the Ribbono Shel Olam by describing his acts, right? So now coming back to Tosfos Reb. I'm not saying this leads to this word. What I'm saying is that had we said that you need shame b'shvua as just a chetzah shel dibor that needs to be said, right? The chetzah shel shame is meikro lashon shel shvua. If you said that, then I don't know how you would get to the possibility of saying that you don't need to actually master it, unless you have a dinyan. We don't have a dinyan, right? So what if it's stam shvua b'shem mashma? But the din is that you need to say the word. Right, shame is required as you new Oscar. How can you get around that? If we say though that it's not that the shame is required, the chesed shel shame is required as something that you need to be articulating qua chesed shel shame, but rather you need to be referring to the bonus, you need to be nishba bo. So then I think there's room to understand how you wouldn't necessarily need to actually articulate it, because if you think that stam shvua b'shame mashma, and why would that be? Right? Why would that be? Because what you're doing is you're saying, this is true. Now, whose chosam is MS? They're Ribbono Shel Olam, right? So it's almost implicit that a stam shvua, unless I say of somebody else, what I mean is this partakes of the truth of the quality that is most exemplified by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's just implicit when you say something. You're trying to signal your conviction in the truth of something. So unless you say otherwise, the assumption is the model that you're referring to is the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you say that, and the reader seems to have held that, you can understand why you wouldn't need to actually mask your shame if you assume this latter approach, that it's not that there's a din baskar shame per se, it's just you need the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's my point, is that the reader went from stam shua b'shem mashma to therefore you don't need to say. My question is, how do you go from A to B? Stam shame shua mashma, but so it's not just the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a din to beat us aside here. So what I'm saying is that you can very well understand how you could go from A to B if you understand that it's not that chetzah shel shem needs to be mentioned, it's that you need to be referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's where the need for shame comes from. If we believe that, you know what, a stam shvua, I mean, what else is there that's worthwhile being nishba to, but for the Ribbono Shel Olam, so stam, a person is nishba bo. Doesn't necessarily have to articulate shame in order to be nishba bo. That's what I think you can understand. Okay?
I think it's even mashma of the pesukim, because like some pesukim say lo se shavu bishmi, like shuas Hashem tiav en shem, doesn't say that you have to do it b'shem. So maybe it's like the shuas Hashem, like the shua, which is regard, you know, which is clearly in
right.
The context of.
So there are some Hashem. So I don't remember.
The Ran said.
Yeah, some Hashem respond to that shuas Hashem is not a makor. Is that the Ran said?
No.
Shuas Hashem
Rashi
is not a makor for shua requiring shame. Doesn't mean shua b'shem. It just means. Right, the shua is called shua Hashem because the shua.
You all say it's
yeah.
Shua, which is
yeah.
Shua Hashem.
Say that,
no, the Ran said that the fact that someone said she's going
to
be shmi.
No. Okay, somebody responds to Rashi. It might be the Rashba. He thought that shua Hashem does not mean. Rashi, what was the raya? Rashi said, "What is my shua Hashem?" So they quote the pasuk. Rashi quotes the pasuk of shua Hashem to give a name. So some Rishonim would reject that. Think that that's not what the mashmas of the pasuk. It doesn't say shua b'Hashem.
The Rath,
he doesn't address Rashi, he just gives that different explanation that he refers to Shmuel.
The reason you don't need shame
is from the Pesukim. I forgot who said it.
Whatever it is, but
yeah.
You can do those Pesukim that all say Bishmi and the Shem, you know, all right. It doesn't mean that you have to do Bishmi, it means if there's shame, which is, you know, Ashvil, which is clearly in the context of Ashvara.
Which, if you're saying something like, this is so true. Then that's assumed to be referring to then, you know, as you know, sort of pointing to referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right. But I'm saying it's only possible to say that matters if you don't assume that there's just Lashon HaShvua requires Shvua and a Chetzah Shel Shem. That's not the halacha. Really, Lashon HaShvua only goes Shvuish, that the Shvua has to be directed towards shame. has to be referencing shame. That's where you get shame. That's where you get the requirement for, meaning it has to be directed towards Hashem. That's where you get the requirement for shame, and if that's true, so then you can go from, well, a person who's stam nishba is being nishba b'shem to you don't need to say it. Yeah.
Just, by Nazir, for you. So, but how do you work by Nazir? Because by Nazir, if you say, and you say, va'ani. So va'ani, that's a chiddush in Nazir, that you're making yourself just like a Nazir. Now there's an additional chiddush that it's making it...
No, hold on. We're not talking about Nazir.
I know, but I'm saying, in general.
You definitely don't need shame for Naziris and for Nether.
Oh, good.
I mean, you can use it, but it's not necessary. Right. There's no question that it's not necessary. The question is it necessary for sure? Okay. So that's as far as the sheet that holds that that you don't need shame at all. Okay? Two ways to explain it. Either it's just not something that's required to file, or it's required, but somehow you don't need it to be articulated. That seems to be the explanation of the RID. We mentioned that although Yados would be a helpful mechanism to explain how that can be, it's just not applicable here. We suggested an alternative. Okay. So now I'll just mention quickly Rabbeinu Tam, short and simple, I think. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that when you need shame, this is how he resolves all the contrary indications in the different sikyos, when you need shame, specifically for hashbah, like so. Right? Shame is required b'mushpim p'acherim, not b'mushpim p'yatsim. How do we understand that? You could say, well, that's because there's a custom, right? And clearly, he thinks you don't need askar shame. That's not a requirement for sure. It's just a din. It's a din specifically in being mashbir. Maybe it's gzeirat kasuv. I think it's possible, though, it's not just gzeirat kasuv. And I think what we would explain it is as follows. The notion of ashpa, as we've mentioned, is that B is a participant in A's utterance. Right? In A's utterance of a shvuah, somehow B partakes of that. And is considered to be when he bears that shvuah. Right? His amira, my amira, is thrust upon you. And perhaps we can understand that the way that that's accomplished according to Ritam is by uttering shame, by pronouncing something that not only commands the immediate attention and compels the engagement of those who hear it, right? Kishem Hashem Akra, Havu Godol Okein. There's no passivity when you're ashamed. But also whose utterance is in some sense borne by them as well. And here I'll just mention the Sugi Nadarim, what's a din? Daf Zayin, in the name of Rav, I believe. Hashomei Askar Sashem Mipi Chavero. Sarech Lanadosa, the person who hears shame just mentioned casually, so he's mechuyev to be menat to place menidoy. Right, the hearer is mechuyev to place menidoy. Veim lo nideyu, hu atzmoye benidoy. And if he doesn't, if I hear shame, somebody mentioned shame, levatala, and I'm not menadim. Now, if you ask like halacha lemaisa, why don't we find this? So the Ramah was actually asked this question. It's one of the chuvos of the Ramah. Why don't we find people doing this, being menadim, and people that aren't menadim? Why don't we put them menidoy? So the Ramah says it's a good question, and the answer is that essentially some of the Rishonim say this is only if it's really b'mezid. If it's only if it's b'mezid, then there's a requirement to be menad to him, and then if you don't, you get new. So if this halacha seems new to you, that's because we don't practice it, in particular because of that serious restriction. But Meikar Din, the halacha is, that if I hear somebody's shame, say shame, I'm required to respond. If I don't, I myself am required to be put in nidu. And the Ron explains the makar for this, that this is a general din b'shame, that shame is borne by those who are around. And that could be l'tova, that could be l'ra, says the Ron. Right, the Gemara says, shabikol makam shaskar shashem mitzuya, this is the Gemara, right, sham aniyus mitzuya. How do we know that? You see this Ron? Ron says, taimak shabikol makam, taimak ha-yahiv l'maydar minan, v'imloni deyu hu asmo yebenidoy. Why do I get the punishment of saying it? If I didn't say it, I just didn't respond to by being menadim. So he says, "Shari asha chamor, the shavan yus mitzuya." Dixiv, listen to this: "V'chol hamakom asher askira shemi, avo elecha uberachticha." The language of the pasuk: any time my name is mentioned, avo elecha uberachticha. Anybody who's in their place, v'chol makom, right? The place itself would somehow be affected by it. Umidas kar shem the mitzvah may be a bracha, the osher askara the shav gorem esanius. Shame, if you hear shame, you're affected by it. If it's in a good way, so then you bear that shame too, and you'll get rewarded. If it's said in a bad context, you need to, there's no passivity here. This is now your shame that you need to take responsibility for and you need to respond to. You hear it, levatala, it's on you. That's in a sense your act, unless you do something about it. And therefore, if you don't, you're punished benidur. Right? So the point is that a scar of shame, right, is something which is automatically borne by anybody who hears it. Right? It's something which, by nature, not only required to respond to, but in a sense, you're almost responsible for it. And therefore, I think you can understand that what Rabbeinu Tam understood is that a scar of shvua b'shem is the legal means by which a shvua of the mashpia becomes born, becomes thrust upon the mushpa. Right? It's what enables the mushpa to be considered to be participating, to shoulder, sort of, to bear the shvua that the mashpia has articulated. That's the nature of the halacha of shame. It's not a requirement for shvua. What it is if I want my amira to be your amira, right? If I want mine to be thrust upon you, so how does that happen? I mean, it's my amira. The answer is by uttering shame. Now you're compelled, you know, to respond to it and to bear it. Okay, that's just an idea. I mean, the Rabbeinu Tam gives no other explanation of this. He just says this resolves the sugya. Doesn't really answer what's the idea. Yeah, I think that could be the idea. Okay, so so that's the first group that we've taken care of, right? And then the third group, right? The you're showing them the two extremes, and then the sort of the outlier sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that it's only the mishmar mecher. Now I'll just address the mechakim, and I'll try to do it overview, but I do want to discuss the ritva in particular. The rabbi. In general, the issue with respect to the mechakim, however they're mechalik, right? Some tchumim mashur require, some don't. So they evidently held that we don't need at least haskaras shem as part of a chetza shel shvua, as part of the maisa hashvua, right? It's not a necessary component. But there are dinim, they're just local dinim in different contexts of shvua, that it's not enough that there's a shvua here, there's also a requirement for shem. There's a local requirement for shem. It's not that it's part of the shvua, it's just this din requires shem, right? Now, we can just go through the various contexts the nature of the local dinim without getting into the different sheets, just address the context. B'shvuas adayanim, what would the shame, the requirement of shame as a local dinim be rooted in? So we saw Ron Rishon says explicitly, Iyum. The Ritva, right, who was of this opinion that it's davka shvuas adayanim requires, explained and why? Because it's part of the Iyum. Right, so that's one possibility. I think that the din b'shem b'shuas adayanim, right? You know, it's essentially passing our gemara here as what it sounds like b'kinoi. You need b'kinoi, right? And that's local here, and the reason is for iyum. Just as an aside, right? If that's true, it's quite possible that you then can fold our three approaches of shuas adayanim of nigin skevitz into really two. It's both the din b'iyum and b'shem. Those are the same. Right, shame itself is serving to be dimmi. I think there's an alternative, and this is we did mention. I mean, I mentioned, I'll come back to it. Here I can do that. I think the alternative is to say that it's mitzad mitzvas v'shmo tishaveya. And in particular, as we noted at the time, the Urim at the very least held that what is the nature of the mitzvah? What is that mitzvah v'shmo tishaveya? Is that if you are to take a shvuas, that if you take a shvua b'makom shen chayiv, namely b'vezin, make sure to do it b'shem. That was the whole mitzvah for him, right? Again, we understood the Rambam held that there's actually a mitzvah lishava b'shmo. It's not just that if you're going to take a shvua, do it b'shmo. The mitzvah is to be nishva b'shmo. But the Rambam is explicit that no, the mitzvah is not to take the shvua and then b'shmo, right? But rather, shvua is not a mitzvah. But if you're taking the shvua, you must do a bishmo. So I think it makes sense to assume if that's true, then that would be a reason to say that you need shame, even though it's not me'ikar shvua, because the mitzvah is to do a bishmo. Just to recall, again, not put things, some things together, right? We suggested that even if shame is required also as part of the kal shvua, in other words, shame is always required because it's just me'ikar shvua, right? We suggest that this could be an additional element, nonetheless, that there's this shame. B'shmo tishaveya provides for additional element. And what I mentioned this in the context of was explaining why you would maybe require Nikitas Chevetz is the basis of the din Nikitas Chevetz. And Nikitas Chevetz is din b'shem, so the question was, why do we only find it here? So I think one suggestion is, even if you assume that, let's say, every shvua requires shame, but there's an extra element, that's just defining what shvua is. There's another element to it here. And that is that it needs to be a b'shmo tishaveya. For that purpose, you need to be tovei shmo. Right? That's how we explain it. It's sort of reflecting this additional. Okay. So that's shvuas adayanim. Then there's the other, another tefillin, which is Shavuos Eidos V'Shavuos Bikkurim. This is seemingly the Ravid, at the very least. The Ramban is also, I believe, the Ramban also actually makes the clean sweep. I mean, the Ramban just thinks Shavuos Eidos V'Bikkurim are the only ones that require, as opposed to the Ravid, who thinks there's a distinction within Shavuos Bitui. But the Ramban, especially, who thinks it's Dafka Shavuos Eidos V'Bikkurim. So how do we understand that? What's the nature of the shame as a low requirement there? Again, Pasuk seems to speak of Shavuah, and according to Yisrael Shalim, you have that even without being Masker Shem. So I would suggest that perhaps this has roots in the Pasuk, which describes the Mechayiv of Shavuos B'Kadim. The Pasuk says, Nevesh Ki Sechata, B'Chich Yisrael Mishov B'Kadim. Obis Sosom Mishyad. It says, Nevesh Ki Sechata, U'mala Ma'al B'Hashem. There's an element of the crime here that is Mechayiv Shavuos B'Kadim, which is Ma'ala Ma'al B'Hashem. Now, what does that mean? So in Chazal, this is the marker for the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili that Kachim Kalim Mamun Gavoah, because the pasuk is telling you that there is a case where by saying you're actually depriving someone Hashem, that's what a Ma'al Ma'al Hashem means. That there's a case where there's a Ma'al Hashem, namely Kachim Kalim, but we don't pass it like that. At least that's the Rabbi's assumption. So what is Ma'al Ma'al Hashem? So Rekiva gives a hint, I think. It's not that Ma'al Ba'alim. It's not talking about a specific case where you happen to have an element of Ba'alim of Mikdash, but rather, just Stam, the case of being Machish Ramiso. So not only when you take the Shvuah are you being Machish Ramiso, you're also being Machish HaShlishi Shibaneh, he who, you know, oversees the whole thing. You're also being Kovar Bo, you're also being Machish Oso. I think we could explain, maybe shame is required as a shear in the act of the Shavua B'Achasha as being a Mi'ila B'Hashem. I found this somewhat explicit in a few Meforshim, including the Abba Arnel, who says, when you connect the Malamah B'Hashem, at least to the Shavua, and even the Shavua B'Hashem, Abba Arnel says, Malamah B'Hashem wrote, Tzel Lomar, Shenishpa B'Shemol Hashem. And the Meshech Chachma as well, right, Rav Perish, who Kala Parsha, the La'alan, he does it very nicely, he works through the Pasuk and points the parallels, V'chichish Ramiso, that's the Malamah Shechayv Lo, the Nishba Shaker, this is the next pasuk, right? Ruchet Shabin Abel Makum, Zeshamar Kisechata, so that's the Chihesh Ramso, Umalabam Hashem, Zeshuash Nishba Shaker, Mashal Shem Kodesh. And I think we can then, if we understand this to be the case, put it even more sharply. The Lashon Me'ila, as Rishonim and Mefarshim note, is connotes Shinui, connotes deviation. That's what Me'ila in its root is. And in particular, you're sort of corrupting and debasing something sacred by using it, by deviating, altering its use for non-sacred purposes. And here I think we would say is your mala mal b'shem, in a sense. The person who invokes shame to give credence to a shvua, right, is usurping the name of Misha Chosmo Emes in order to deceive and to steal and to deprive his fellow of what belongs to him. You're corrupting shame. You're using, it's not enough that you took it. You use shame to do it, to fend him off. That's mala mal b'shem. That's shame, which is Chosmo Emes, which is to be mentioned only in the context of MS, so you use it to do this, that's Malamamba Hashem. That's why Skar Shem is necessary here. That's what's Mechayiv, the Din of Shavuos B'Kadim. Now, regarding Eidos, as I mentioned, it doesn't say Malamamba Hashem, but perhaps that same idea is implicit in Mishama Kol Allah. Right? Allah, by definition, is B'Shem. Tein Hashem Maskala Allah L'Shvua, right from Sota. So we could argue that part of the Mechayiv is the affront to the shame. Shame, which compels, right, which compels a certain kind of behavior, a certain kind of kovod rosh, your response to shame and to a shvu of a shame is to lie and to shirk responsibility. You know Eidos from me, you have mitzvah to be made. I use shame to fend off, no, I don't. You respond to shame in that way. That part of that, the me'ilu of Hashem too, that's also part of the mechayiv. That's dafka though, if there's a scar of shame. So that's what I think in terms of the different tchum. Finally, I'd like to just, to conclude, we'll turn our attention now to the Ravid. Because the Ravid, in particular the Ravid's chiluk, not just between Suge Shvua, Mine Shvuos, the Arba Mine Shvuos, but within the Min of Shvuos Bitui, being Mechalik between Malkus and everything else. Right? The Ravid thinks that you don't need it for Korban even. You don't need it for Issa, you don't need it for Korban. However, you're not Loke. Right? Now, here, just for the sake of time, we'll just focus on the version of the Ravid that is either cited in Rishonim or explicated by Rishonim in his name, that this is true specifically for the Malkus of Shvul Sha'abar. Malkus of Shvul Haba, you don't need shame, Haskar Shem for. It's only the Malkus of Shvul Sha'abar. just as an aside, this might be their interpretation of the Hasaga. It also could be that they had access. They had access to. There's some question about how much they used the Hasagas Haravid al Rambam. I think that Raf wants to study of this. They used it very little. Most of them had the Ravid Perushim. They're finishing Ravid, right? What we have in Bava Kama. I mean, he makes a big deal of this about the Raf. That the Miris Kinoi for the Ravid is not Gdolei Hamagim, just or Gdolei Hamasigim. It's usually Gdolei. No, that's Rama. He's the greatest author. No, Gdolei Hamifarshim. On the portion, it's his perush on the Gemara. I would have said Gedolei Portion Rashi, right? But he does Gedolei Rabbanim is Rashi. Gedolei the Portion is the Ravid, and I don't know. He claims that I think looked at it and found that Rishonim actually cite very little of the Hasagas, which is an interesting thing. The Ravid's Hasagas was something he wrote at the end of his career, at the end of his life, but they reflect almost all of them writings he had written throughout the rest of his life. He had voluminous writings. Much of which we don't have, that Rishonim did. So I'm not sure if it came from there or how it came in the Avar's there, but we'll just deal with that one. The truth is that there's a very serious issue, which I'm not sure how resolvable it is, with the idea that that without shame it would be over Vayachal, was Lahaba, you don't get Malkus, why don't you get Malkus with the Vayachal? I mean, there's a potential answer to that, but it's not obvious at all. So we'll just go to with that which Rav Shonim interpret him or have him saying, which is that specifically the Malkus of the Sha'avar. So the question here is, right, the sheet of the Rabbi is how to understand the lack of Malkus for the Shavuos LaSha'avar and for the Shavuos Sha'avar. Right, the Rabbi says you don't need shame, except for Bidoy and Bikadon, which we've discussed, right? And also, when it comes to Bitoy, you essentially, fundamentally don't need shame, but Linyan Malkus you do because it says Lo Shishabu Vashmi, Lo Shizal Shonim Kinafel LaShav. What does this mean? So the first possibility that comes to mind here is maybe what he's saying is that the law of Losi Shavu B'Shmi L'Shaker and Losi Shav Shem Shana L'Shav is only violated if you shame. Right? No, there's no onesh simply because there's no Aveira on the Yisr. When it comes to the Yisr L'Abba, so that's Lo Yacha, right? The Rabbi's in the Bayacha camp of Rishonim, who held that you violate Bayacha, right? So when it comes to the Yisr L'Abba, that doesn't require shame. When it comes, though, to the Yisurim, when it comes to the cases of Averas where the only law in question is law of Losi Shavu B'Shmi L'Shaker or Losisa, so that requires shame because that's the law. That's what the law says. Losi Shavu B'Shmi L'Shaker. And therefore you don't get Malkus, right? I think that seems to be the simplest way to understand it. You just, Pasuk says, Losi Shavu B'Shmi. So you only violate the Yisur of that way. The problem with saying that, this is the biggest issue with saying that, is that why are you five korban? Right? Why you chayv b'shogi? Why you chayv korban? If you hold that there's no issur, and we assume in this we discussed, there's a few shonim who didn't assume this, but by and large, especially somebody who's seen sifra, held that korbans are a chazar. To be chayv a korban, you need to have violated an issur, just like to be chayv malchus, you need to have violated an issur. Right? Korbans are a chazar. Wouldn't be enough to, let's say, violate an aseh. So if korbans are a chazar, so in the case of a shuas Bitoy, where I say achalti, and you weren't, and I don't say shame, says the Rav, you're chayv a korban. What have I violated? So if you say that to violate the Isra, Losi Shavu B'Shmi L'Shaker, because it says Shmi, you need to say shame, so then why am I reading a korban if I do B'Shogi? So korban's are chazar, right? That's a very serious question. I think it's more likely, therefore, to say that no, the Rav is not saying you don't violate the law, you violate the law. But for some other reason, you don't receive Malkus. Now, why would this reason be? So here, I think you find, actually, the Ritva addresses this. Anybody notice what he says? Oh, I don't have the Ritva. Anybody have the Ritva in the Dar? No, it's the Ritva in Shavuos, I believe. Did anybody get to see that Ritva? Alam right. Avov and Aleph? And Gimur Asuka V'Hilch Slikar Rabban and
Plutta? I didn't see that. Like, what up?
Alam Avov and Aleph. I thought you guys did all the cards.
That's the one thing I didn't do on this one.
Actually, you know it?
As well, yeah.
Was that photo for you?
It's been a while ago? Yeah.
How about photo for you?
There's no excuse. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think your crew are going to be held up in it for 3 weeks. Right? Yeah. He says, V'hilchus kirban v'plukta v'chulu v'chulei. V'aval rai v'kaz v'dilini ma'akos sarak shem o kinoi d'ha b'chol az harosav k'si ev kain lo sisa shem k'echa lo sisa shavu shem k'echa. Okay. Me'ata in la dun obe mekabel hasara la makos. Elo b'shem v'shem obe kinu. I think there you have an answer. What is he suggesting? Why is it there's no makos? What's the problem? Is that you haven't violated the law? No. Ain la dun obe or ke mekabel hasara. There's a hasara problem. Right, this is, we've seen this before, right? There's a hasara problem. The law is unclear, right? This is, as I mentioned, this I think is rooted in the idea that Ein Onshin Elo Kein Mazirin. And the hasara, it's not just that you need to have an hasara, but it has to be an hasara which is understandable, which is, right? This is how he suggested, according to the Meiri, why you wouldn't get makos, whatever, right? We've mentioned this principle. The Ripa seems to be saying that here, that the law is misleading. The hasara is misleading. That's a problem. Person who hears this, he says, you can't do this. Why not? Because it says, Lo si shavu vishmi l'shaker. So the guy says, I'm not saying shame, I'm fine. Oh, it's with even without shame. What do you mean? It says in the pasuk, shame. So I'm fine. Right? So even though Aliba the MS, he's violating a law. But because the Azhari here, we saw it in the Miri, it had a similar lesson for this, right? The Azhari, he was talking about the Shwasa Edus, the law of Lo si shavu. Right? The Azhari is inamuvu eris, the mikra. It's not obvious that there is this iser, so that it becomes a problem of kind of an ein onshin elo kein mazirin. The azhara here is not sufficiently clear.
Here it's too much. Over here, it's more of azhara than we were doing over there. It's
well, the point is that the iser actually is to say shua without even without.
You're saying too much. You're saying with shame.
But the pasuk says b'shame. So because of that, it's too obscure. The fact the iser actually in terms of its applying cases. That where the person doesn't say shame, it's just something which is not mivuar enough in the mikra for it to be sufficient a good asra. Okay, that's one possibility. I think there's a simple alternative though.
How about karbon then? That's why I had karbon.
Korban doesn't require asra. Korban doesn't require asra.
I thought karbon's are an
azhara.
Azhara. So
azhara is there's an issue that you violate. Asra.
So you didn't violate azhara because you didn't do anything with shame.
No, azhara doesn't mean azhara. Sometimes these terms are interchanged, but they're different. Azhara means an isser. There's an isser. The Torah says is mashir. It says don't do this. Hasra is I inform you that that's the case.
Yeah, but you didn't do that. You didn't.
So you don't need to be informed that that's the case to be chayav a korban. Typically, that doesn't happen here.
Shogeg. Well, azhara because you didn't say any b'shem, so you shouldn't have
the shem
inherently.
No, he's saying ain't no dinam b'mikale hasra.
I don't. I'm saying, but so why is chayav a korban there?
You don't need hasra for korban.
I know, but the Azhara is to do Shvua Shankar Vashem, but you
no, so that. That's no, that's not the correct. What I'm saying is the Ripa sounds like saying Enachinami, the right at least you violate the Isser, the Azhara.
Lishem.
But the problem is that the Hasra is not clear enough about that. Because the Hasra, in quoting that Azhara, right? It's a Chisarim Basra. The Hasra, in quoting that Azhara, is misleading. The guy just won't believe the Hasra, because I'm saying. You're in violation of an isser. It says, "Lo siyavu shnezeker." The guy's going to say, "I'm not in violation of the isser." Right? There's a chisar and asura problem. The hafim in shogeg the mezid, and in this case, the asura is not going to deliver us that because the guy's just not going to buy that he violates this without saying shame. Aliba de emes, do I violate without saying shame? Absolutely. That's why the reason is no asura. It's not because you don't violate the isser, says the ritva, but because you were never mekabel asura sufficiently to make it okay. We can now be mas. We can now be magfal.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not a problem that there's no Azhara. The problem is that the Azhara is not sufficiently clear such that it enables there to be a good Hasra. Okay? But for Korban, you wouldn't need that. Okay. That's what again, this is not me, this is the Rif. I think what I would suggest is something a little different, which is, relates to something we saw. The Malkos of Shvua Sheker and Shvua Shav. Shvua Sheker L'Sha'avar and Shvua Shav. So we have to note that that's somewhat actually of an aberration. It's an exception, right? Because generally speaking, what's the halacha? When do you get malchus? What lavin are subject to an onesh malchus? Only lavin sheh yesh b'maisa. The lav of lo si shavu v'shmi sheker, as at least when you violated the Sha'avar, is it ain b'maisa? Kima sefasa lo habi maisa. Why did you none? Let's get malchus. Because we know there's an exception. Rabbi Yochanan tells us, right, that there are three exceptions to this rule, including Shua Sheker Shavar. Now, how do I know? What was the makor for the exception to the rule? What did the Gemara say? Ki lo yinakeh?
What?
Yeah, but what's the rest of the book? Chilonia ke es asher?
Shmo
l'shav. So one can suggest as follows. You could have understood this pasuk, and we discussed this before we mentioned it. Yeah, so one could understand, I mean, the pasuk is telling you, no, for the lav, you do get it. It's an exception. This lav actually does have an oshmo. Alternatively, you could say, it's not an exception to the principle regarding onshim al aveir salav. It's not really an onish for the aveir of the lav. What is it? It's simply a reaction to the phenomenon of the chil Hashem. The chil shame is what demands, is what is mechayiv malchus. Lav dafka, the violation, the isser, forget the isser. The isser, as an isser, doesn't actually carry a sense of malchus. The isser as an isser is lav shame b'maisa. There's a special separate din that somebody who's mechal shame like that is loked. So one could argue that malchus is not an onish on the avera. It's a separate din, but bizoy shame. The avera actually is not something which carries a sentence. It's the bizoy hashem, right? Which requires malchus. And if you actually look, the three cases that are exceptions all have that in common, right? Mekalo es chaver b'shem. Meimar is, I think, also an issue of shame, but and in fact, I think it's not a coincidence that we find this similar, clear, explicit phenomenon where you have a violation, but nonetheless there's an onesh which is only chal in the event. In the case of mechal chaver b'shem, if you look at the Rambam and Exeginus, it's absolutely explicit. Mechal chaver b'shem, the iser itself of los chal chirish, you violate even without shame. The malchus, though, is only you say shame. Exactly parallel to what I'm suggesting the Rabbi is holding here. The point being that we're not talking about violating the issue. That doesn't carry a sentence of malchus. But for mechal, a shame like this, you're losi shavu v'shmi l'shaker, losi sisa shmo l'shav. So the Torah says that we don't brook that. Forget that you violated a law. The chil shame is an independent phenomenon. Forgetting the law, the chil shame is what is mechayiv malchus. And therefore, the Rabbi will say it's true that losi shavu v'shmi l'shaker in terms of the iser you violate completely. But unless you say shame, all you have is the violation of that iser. That doesn't get malchus. What gets malchus is kilo yinakes asher yisa shmo l'shav. Basin menachem asher. So it's a din in this specific instance of malchus where it's not a function of violating the iser. It's rather a function of the being nose shmo l'shav of being mechal shmo that requires dafka shame. There the rabbi says it's, you know, that's not a din b'shvua. And that's also not a din even violating the Yisr of Lo Sishavu Vishmina Shaker. It's a din, specifically this din Malkos Kishvua, was due to it being a case of Lo Yisr Shemal Shav. That only applies if you actually say shame. Okay? So I think that makes a lot of sense. So Adkan, just today we discussed the other Shitos in Rishonim regarding shame. Right? We saw first the Shita doesn't require shame. We discussed the two ways to understand it in terms of just shame not being relevant at all, or shame being relevant but somehow you don't need to mention it. Right? Then we saw, we discussed the Shitas of Rabbeinu Tam. We gave a little bit of a Tam to Rabbeinu Tam. Right? It's not really good because it's two different words. So, so we discussed that in terms of what the din of shame might have to do, what shame might have to do with being Mashpia. Then we moved to the Machalkim, and we just gave an overview sort of the various areas of Shvua, the Mine Shvuas, that what the local din requiring shame might, how we might understand it. And finally came to the Rive, which is Machalik between Malkus and everything else within Chos Mitoi. And we assessed that in terms of how to understand it. And basically we suggested that although you could argue maybe that you don't violate the Isser, that leaves us with the problem being why are you Chayav Korban. Alternatively, we suggested maybe there is an issue, you just don't get malchus, either for the reason the Rifa mentions, namely there's a hasra problem, because it's just, you can never be clear enough to the person that he's actually violating an issue, even if you tell him that, he's not going to, doesn't sense it, because it doesn't say that in the pasuk. Alternatively, what we suggested was, no, in fact, there's no hasra problem here, it's just that the malchus is not a function of violating the law, the malchus is a function of being yisa shamo l'shav, and that you haven't done. Okay?